Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Awed by the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we are talking about the new Netflix movie, Don't Look Up, by director Adam McKay.
Yep.
We love talking about Adam McKay's movies on this show. They tend to get nominated for Oscars.
They're pretty good, usually. He's got a real distinct style, that's for sure.
He sure did. I still forget that he did Step Brothers. Did he direct Step Brothers?
Yeah.
And the other one, the
Talladega Nights.
And yes, Talladega Nights, yes.
I think Anchorman as well. Like, maybe not Anchorman. No.
Something to do with Anchorman. He also produces a lot of stuff, too.
Yes. I'm just going to make sure. The one sure. with... He did the other guys.
Matt Damon. Yeah, the other guys, right?
Isn't that's that with Mark Wahlberg.
That one. The other one.
He's made a lot of things, okay? Like, definitely has done a lot of things as a producer and as a director, and has his own distinct style when he is the, you know, main writer and director and editor of things. So, you know, there's a lot. There's The Big Short. There's Vice. There's even Ant-Man. He's just done a lot of things, and he did do Anchorman as well. So I also, you know, we did critically talk about Vice, so we'll probably be comparing this movie to Vice and also to The Big Short, because they are his kind of more distinctive style.
Yeah, and stylistically they're probably more similar, and kind of on the topics that he likes to discuss. Like, he likes to make fun of people. Mm-hmm. His movies can be very, like, satirical in a way.
Definitely this one is a satire for sure.
Yes, this one for sure. Because The Big Short and Vice were both based on pretty much true events.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. And this one was very similar. I mean, he's definitely making fun of us people.
Rightfully so, you know.
Rightfully so, because we deserve it.
Yeah.
I was scared to watch this movie because Adam McKay, because based off of watching The Big Short and Vice, I thought that, you know, in a way that this movie was going to be about something that's happening that we're obviously overlooking, or something that America has fucked up on. Like, so that was my worry when watching this, because I was like, oh, is there going to be like a level of truth to this movie? And there is, there definitely is, but
yeah.
This situation is fictionalized, but it's satirized to how we would actually react to a situation like this. And it's very funny. I actually enjoyed watching this movie. I was afraid to watch it, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, from the moment it began, we all know the premise. There's a giant meteor hurling towards Earth, and this is how the humans on Earth are going to respond to it. Not in the collective mindset of the movie Arrival, but instead just squabbling around like idiots until this thing comes and destroys us all. And so I knew that from the very beginning, and you know that from the opening scene where Jennifer Lawrence's character finds this meteor. You know that it's just the general idea that it's going to be coming towards Earth. And so... to me, it was like very, very anxiety inducing because I knew that this was going to be happening. And I just have this, like, disaster movies are not I see the appeal of them, but like personally, they're just so hard to swallow sometimes. And this one was probably the most anxiety-inducing one because it felt so real. You know, it's not like Independence Day where these aliens are coming and it looks ridiculous. Or even like we watched also like San Andreas, that was also ridiculous. So like this was like so much more realistic in a lot of ways, and it just felt so like uncomfortable.
It was frustrating and uncomfortable because yes, this is a fictional situation, but this is exactly how we would react
right
to this, and it was hilarious, but it was so frustratingly accurate.
Yeah, so the hilarity was really obvious. Like, truly, the characters were all just funny people. Every single one of them were just really quirky, and the actors really do a great job, and they're just so funny in their weird ways. You know, some funnier than others, but they just do such a good job playing these very satirical characters. Every single one of them, like the whole cast is amazing.
Yeah, it felt very like Parks and Rec, like just every dumb person you can think of that lives on this planet. And what you don't want them to do, like they do. And I really liked it. Like, I can see myself maybe watching, I'm not a huge fan of disaster movies either, but this one was like, I really saw the humor in it, and I could maybe see myself watching this movie again.
It was so painful to me. Like, I literally had a dream 2 days ago about, like, something destroying the Earth. Like, I have these nightmares sometimes that are like that. And so this movie was like visualizing something that could possibly happen, that these, you know, I have like dreams about bombs and nuclear bombs and like tsunamis.
Really?
And yes, like, oh my gosh. I swear to God. So like watching
that
this movie.
So scary, Alessandra. You have nightmares? Like, I have never had a nightmare. Like, I think the most like disaster a nightmare I've had is like I was at a water park and like one of the water slides like or one of the water rides like broke and like just like a wave of water like just fell over. Like, no, I think I might have had a dream where I was on an island. It's all water related. I think I had a dream. Like,
yes.
I definitely had a dream about the water ride breaking and then water like crashing over all of us. But I think I've also had another dream where I was on an island and a huge like tidal wave was heading towards the beach and I was trying to get someone like family members or something, or maybe it was Kimmy and I was trying to get us up to a higher place. I've definitely had a dream like that.
Right.
It's mostly been water though. Maybe I have a fear of water.
To me, it's like human made things. Like,
that's very scary too.
So like to me, or like, you know, getting shot or somebody that I love dying. That happens so much in my dreams. Like, when I have
definitely
a bad
had a dream,
where
I've been shot. I've been shot protecting someone.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I've thrown my body in front of someone in my dreams and taken the bullet.
That's very admirable.
Only in my dreams.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this movie was so, I was just anxious the whole time. I mean, I did laugh a lot. I thought it was very funny, especially Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill. They were hilarious.
My gosh.
I mean, just
Jonah Hill.
Every time they were on screen, I was laughing. Every single time. They were
so good.
Also, Kate Blanchett was also very funny.
Kate Blanchett was so good.
With her, like, fake teeth and just,
yes, her teeth were so, oh, we're so scary. Oh God, her mouth.
Everything was terrifying. Yes. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, they're just, but definitely Jonah Hill was a big plus in this movie. He apparently was he kind of like improvised a lot of his his lines and stuff, apparently.
It like sounded they, like it.
They just, like, let him go for it, and it was so funny.
I think my roommate, Casey, had said that they had seen an interview or something with Jonah Hill, and he had said, like, you know, think about my character, think of Firefest, but as a human. That's how he said to think about his character.
I heard that
before starting the movie, so I was like, yep, this is that. So I don't think I watched the trailer for this, so I didn't really know what it was about. I knew it was, like, environment related. So I thought it was, like, just like one of those movies to talk about, like, global warming or something, or like our environment, like, breaking down, not like a comet heading towards a planet. I thought it was gonna be about that. So that's why I was scared to watch it, because I'm already terrified about global warming and how our planet's going to die, basically.
Well, that's the thing. The metaphor is that the comet is basically us destroying our planet slowly.
Yes.
And every person has said that this is going to happen, and this is what's going to happen to us if we don't do anything about it, and we haven't done enough. So this is, like, exactly the kind of scenario in which the Earth gets warmer and warmer and things die, and it's horrible. And that is our future.
Yes.
So it's true and it's real, and all of the, like, I don't believe in this and all you have to do is just ignore it is kind of the purpose of the movie.
Yes, let's break down like kind of how this movie went along. So we have Jennifer Lawrence's character, Kate, right?
Yeah.
Kate sees the comet. She's very excited about it. They get the other scientists in. They figure out it's going to hit Earth. They take it to the president. The president doesn't listen. They're like, oh, whatever, it's a hoax, or, you know, whatever, it's not actually going to hit Earth. Doesn't take it seriously. And they try to go the other route of, like, just bring it straight to media. And Kate Blanchett's show is just, like, looking at everything positively and, like, talking about the positive side of news, like, yeah, never really talking about, like important news. So it's all just kind of brushed over. But then it's like, it's kind of once the story kind of gets out and people are taking it more seriously, it looks like things are heading towards a positive light. But then every, like, oh my gosh, when the first launch, like, just gets stopped.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it gets turned around.
They shut it down. Like, they've launched. They're launching. They're gonna go blow up the comet and possibly save the Earth. Like, it's like, we're doing it. We're here. We've worked hard. We're gonna blow up this comet. We're gonna save the planet. But it gets put to a stop because there's a mineral. I jokingly, because we watched Avatar recently in my house. So I said, and I was describing to Raymond how like what he missed, because he was out there with us watching it in the beginning, and he was like, this is stupid, and he leaves.
What?
And when he comes back, I was like, there was unobtainium on the comet,
there
Raymond.
There was, yes, just like an Avatar, yes.
There was unobtainium on this comet. So they couldn't destroy it. You need those, the rich people need the minerals.
People are being selfish the whole time, the whole movie.
Oh my gosh. And then the whole, the comet's not real. People are for and against the comet brings us jobs. Like, by that point, I was just laughing. I was like, oh my, and I couldn't look away. I was like, it was such a disaster that I couldn't look away from. It was mesmerizing. It was so hypnotic, Alessandra.
Well, the editing is also really good, which I was gonna say is a big plus of Adam McKay's movies. He really just loves to just throw things in there. So he showed us a lot about Earth, which I felt like in Vice there was too much editing, and I felt like in this movie there was just enough. Like, it wasn't overwhelming. There's a lot of juxtaposition between certain scenes. Like, he'll flip between different ways that people are reacting to things and stuff. I'm trying to remember exactly what one was, but basically it was just like, this is how these people are dealing with it, and then it will just like go between like the scientists and then what they're doing. But every single person in this movie has like such a selfish attitude towards this comet and everything that's related to it. Even our main characters, especially Dr. Randall, Mindy, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he kind of goes astray as well by like starting to date.
Yeah, he uses it to just kind of be, to get famous and to be popular. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's known as the, what did they call him? Like, they called him like the scientist I'd like to fuck or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They called him a sylph.
Yeah. Which is just, I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy, like, it just shows how, like, power gets people's heads when they're, like, getting supported by other powerful people.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually he comes back to his family. But,
yeah,
you know.
And how when the corporations take over, like, when, what's this actor's name? The guy that plays, Peter? Is that his name?
Oh,
Peter?
Yeah. Isherwell? Mark
Peter
Rylance?
Peter Isherwell.
Yes.
Yes, Mark Rylance. Mark Rylance's character, he takes over the project, the expedition, so that he can mine the comet. But the scientists that he's using, none of their stuff has been, like, peer-reviewed, so they don't know if it'll actually work. And, of course, it doesn't. And the comet ends up hitting Earth. And it's just... Oh, it was so fun. I loved when Jennifer Lawrence kept bringing up the snacks. Like, yeah. Having them pay for the snacks.
She just was like, I can't believe that, like, he made us pay,
was it a
like,
power move?
$10.
Like, when she
yes.
brought it up.
So many times.
She brought it up. I was laughing so hard. Oh, my gosh. And Timothy's character was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was my favorite.
Well, of course, I was waiting for him. I was waiting for him.
Timothy's best work was in this movie.
Oh, my God. I was waiting. He doesn't show up till more than halfway through the movie, and
yeah.
Gosh, that made me so sad, because I was just waiting for him. I was really hoping he'd be more in this movie. But it was the build up
we needed, Alessandro.
I know.
Like, just
I know.
When,
I love
when
him.
He showed up on the screen, just delivering those Oscar-winning lines, like, it was so funny.
I
loved everything he said. Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, of course I was relieved. So I mean, just the whole cast is really good. Even Ariana Grande and Kid Cudi as well, like, this kind of, like, power, like, pop couple. And then she writes that song at the end, and she, like, is the comet, and she's, like, flying on stage. And she sings that song about how we're all going
to die. I saved that song to my Spotify because I loved it. I loved that song. And the Bon Iver song.
Uh-huh.
Was really good too. I saved both of them to my Spotify.
This movie was, again, too traumatizing for me to, like, it was just scary. Like, it was half horror, half comedy. Like, that's how frightening this movie was to me.
It was. Like, it really was, but I don't know why it when I was very nervous and very anxious, like, starting this movie. And then once I kind of saw how it was going, I just had to laugh. Like, I had to. And now I just kind of look at it in just, like, a positive way.
That's
like,
good.
I don't know. Like, it just, like, and I'm very scared about our planet.
Right, I
and
know.
How,
I'm just
and
surprised.
How we're treated. Like, I'm, when all those wildfires were happening, like, last year, and they were just all I saw was just burning planet all over my Instagram, I had, like, a panic attack, like, every day.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know why this didn't affect me. Like, and you know, Casey and I were watching it together, me and my roommate were, and we were just like, what would you be doing in this situation? And I just kept saying I'd be crying. Like, I'd just be crying.
Well, that's
like,
what Kate does in the beginning of the movie. She's just, like, crying all the time. And then she kind of comes to, after they try and fail to send more nuclear stuff up to space, and Russia and China don't make it, that they just are like, okay, well, now they resign themselves to the fact that they're all going to die. Which
the scene that I could not watch, Like, I watched it, obviously. But, like, the scene that really got me was at the very end when, like, the table was shaking. And I was like,
dude, the whole
end.
The whole ending.
I couldn't be sitting there, like, laughing around the table, like, with them. Like, I would be somewhere having a full-blown, like, panic attack before
well, that's
like,
the thing. They
eventually just getting killed.
They were all frightened, and that's why the end is so good. It's such a well-done ending. It really, to me, like, really legitimized this movie. Like, the whole end was so scary. Like, just to me, like, the idea that they go to the grocery store, it's the last day on Earth. They go to the grocery store, they get what they need. They are trying to have conversations. They see each other. They have a nice family dinner. They're just complimenting everything. They're trying to be so grateful for everything that they've had. And just they're trying to talk to each other, and they're talking about instant coffee. And then the speech that, you know, Timmy makes, the, like, prayer before they eat and everything is really good. And then he, Leonardo DiCaprio says, like, in the end, like, the last line is, "We really did have everything, didn't we?" or something like that. And it's just so poignant and, like, so well done at the end with the gravity of that situation. It's a really, really good ending to just this crazy anxiety driven movie, which, again, has been playing over and over in my mind as just, like, just the most horrible thing I can think about ever happening. It's just so incredibly horrific, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah. Completely.
It's just so much. But so there's a lot of criticism with this movie, and people are like, well, I just didn't think it was, like, necessary to be so satirical, or the acting is a little bit too over the top or too crazy. What did you think?
I mean, I don't think, I definitely thought it was very satirical, but I also thought it was very realistic too. Like, I mean, you know, Ariana and her, like, her character and her, you know, boyfriend breaking up and everyone being, like, so sad about it. And then when they, you know, get proposed, like, that is something that definitely happens. Like, it's just everything that happened in this movie is, like, I guess that's how I see it. I don't see it as being overly satirical, because I think it was extremely realistic. Like, I don't think it was satirical at all. Like, obviously it was, but just the fact that we've seen all of this stuff play out, like, with the hats that looked like the Trump hats.
And the
nation being completely divided by something really, like, ridiculous. Like, there's obviously a side that you should be on and a side that you shouldn't be on. And because the other side just doesn't make any sense, like, it just, it was all very real to me. So I didn't think it was all that satirical, because I feel like I've seen all of these different situations that have happened in the world that we live in today, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, it's.
I thought it was perfect.
It's crazy. The whole technology, especially the aspect that this guy was like, we can save the Earth with this technology that is not going to work. And then they fly off in a ship, you know, to space, deep space. And they have, like, cryo chambers.
And the call that Dr. Randall gets, like, from the president, she's like, you know, we have a ship. We're leaving the planet now. You can bring one person with you. And, like, he's like, of course you have a fucking ship. Like, of course you have a fucking ship. Like,
she forgot to get her son. She just forgot him.
Yeah, she forgot to get her son. Yeah, she forgot him. And, of course. And the fact that Peter Isherwell, Mark Rylance's character, was, like, paying countries to be like, okay, this piece of the comet's going to land near you. You're probably going to get some high tides. We're going to pay you for the damage. Like, the fact that that was, like, just, you had to listen to all the little things happening, because it's completely stuff that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, oh, I did gosh. Like, the Mark Rylance's character was, like, he told Dr. Mindy that he was going to die alone, and he didn't die alone. Mm-hmm. He died with all of his family and friends. That's true. He didn't die alone. But he did also tell, he told Meryl Streep, the president, that she was going to die from this, like,
thing. A Brontorock or whatever.
Yeah. And then she gets, like, at the end, they're all naked and they're on this random island, like, this random planet being, like, idiots and, like, going up to the things on this planet. And then she just gets eaten. And it's
her face gets eaten by this carnivorous bird.
Because they're a bunch of idiots that got sent off to, I guess, become the new human race. But it's like...
Yeah, essentially. What?
I mean, like, these are the idiots of the Earth.
Yeah, they are. And then did you see the end credit scene?
No, what was that?
Oh, so back on Earth, it goes back to Earth, and there was a pile of rubble, and Jonah Hill lives. Jonah Hill is the last man on Earth.
But oh my God, that's so silly.
he attempts to turn on his phone and start like a live stream, and he's like, hey, subscribers, last man on Earth.
I am looking. I'm doing this right now. I'm literally at my computer. That's what he does. I'm gonna open this up. I can't. I have to see it.
You have to watch it right now. It was just
doing it.
Oh, it was so magical.
Okay.
It was. Oh my God.
He's so funny. He's so silly. Okay. Here we go. Here's the end of the movie. Okay, so I see the destruction. Oh, here he is. Oh my God. he's like coming out of this rubble pile.
Yeah.
With his briefcase. Oh my God. Mom. Oh my God. How is there anybody? What's up, y'all? They totally don't forget to like and subscribe if you out here. Oh God, that's good. They totally just let him go. Adam McKay was like, dude, just go. Well, also Jennifer Lawrence said it was really hard to film with him, and it's because he's so funny that she was like breaking.
Oh, with Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
I bet. Oh my gosh. He is so funny. Oh my goodness. And oh my gosh, Ron Perlman's character. We need to just talk about him for a second. Oh
racist,
my gosh.
Like old, like American kind of dude. Like
military guy, I think. Mm-hmm. I think is what he was kind of supposed to be. And they just be America's hero.
Meryl Streep like kept like saying how handsome he was, and just like,
yes, he's like, got a great body, right? Sure,
but she. Sure, so what whatever. I loved about the fact that she was like interested in the whole comet thing was only because she wanted to sweep under the rug her pick for justice. Who she had been sleeping with. And it was just, like, this really, like, right-wing guy.
She needed to sweep this scandal under a rug and get her polls back up. Because they were heading towards another election. And, oh, my God. It just was. Oh, man.
It's I'm glad you liked it. I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. I also enjoyed it, but like again, it was just really anxiety ridden for me. But
I must have just sat down to watch it at a good time. Like I just really I wasn't feeling too anxious or something. Because I also don't know how I could have started the movie because I was reluctant to watch it. Like when I was like, oh, I have to watch this movie tonight, and then I did, and I was super anxious during the first like 30 minutes to an hour. And then something just completely, and then it just flipped. Like, and then I was just relaxed and laughing for the rest of it. Like, I don't know what happened.
It's Adam McKay's like special touch. He does that to you. He knows how to like get in there and make you comfortable. And he's a good director. I really do think that this is one of his best movies. For yeah. sure, you know.
Which I think I enjoyed this movie more than like Vice or The Big Short, because like, mm-hmm. even though I did like The Big Short, they talked about stuff that I wasn't too like knowledgeable of.
Yeah.
And a lot of their stuff just, like, a lot of the jokes and a lot of, like, the cleverness just kind of, like, went over my head a lot. Like, and they weren't, like, the easiest for me to follow.
Yeah.
Like, this was so easy for me to follow. And, like, and every reference that was brought up, like, I understood.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. But, like.
Right.
But, it like,
was,
this
it's was. It's a smart movie. Yeah.
It was also a smart movie. Like, it was very, and I just, it was a lot more enjoyable to watch. Like probably after this I'd probably say that I liked The Big Short next, then probably Vice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, favorite character really... by far though was Timothy.
Oh yeah,
he was the best.
Yule. He is just Yule. I mean, I love Timmy. You guys know I don't want to even I can't even rave about him. I don't think this is his best performance, but he is a very good actor.
No, it's definitely not. But he was the best part.
He's just
everything he said. He was so quotable. Like, I want to use some of the stuff that he said, like in TikToks. Like,
yeah.
I want to use something and use like the I fucking love fingerling potatoes. Like,
I know.
Like, I want to use that for something, and like. And oh my god, I was laughing so hard when he walked into the house and he was like, "Hey, I'm Firepulse 142 on Twitch, you game?"
Twitch,
like,
you game?
And Casey and I were both laughing when we first saw him when Kate was working in that convenience store.
Yeah.
And he was checking out using. And when he walks up to the cash register and goes like, "I like to," like, he says that weird voice. It's in a yeah. really weird voice. He just goes like, "I'd like to buy these sunglasses." He says it in like a really weird way. Casey and I were just laughing for like 5 minutes. Like, what did he do?
So glad he can so do comedy. Funny. Really. I mean, it's great.
It was so funny. And I loved, like, Jennifer Lawrence was so funny. Like, when she was like, "Well, I guess my boyfriend just dumped me," and her boyfriend. Such an asshole.
Oh, he was like, he freaked out about it for 2 seconds and then he realized he could make a lot of money out of it. So then he decided to do that, which is
it's
pretty fucked up. But
yeah,
one of the quotes on here is from Kate, says, "You guys, the truth is way more depressing. They're not even as smart enough to be as evil as you're giving them credit for."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good line. That was a really good line. So good.
So I'm just gonna look through some trivia here. It says Jennifer Lawrence filmed most of her scenes with a broken tooth, and due to restrictions in place during the COVID-19 pandemic, she could not get it fixed. The missing tooth was added in post-production.
Oh my god.
They filmed in Boston, which I don't remember if you remember this, but I sent in a headshot to be an extra in this movie, and I was never called, but I tried.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and they filmed it like, they filmed some scenes down pretty close to me, but I missed them because I just didn't. It's like you can't really know when things are getting filmed. You kind of just have to be like, oh, on the day of, somebody says that they're there, and then you go there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to, but I was like trying to look for Boston scenes in this movie. And so I saw some when they were walking down the street, when they're at the train, when, you know, there was a lot of things that I saw. And I was like, oh, there's Boston. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, of course, I tried to stick it out so I could see Timmy, but I did not.
Never saw Timmy.
No, I did not. I would have
oops.
Loved to see him, but it was shot during the pandemic. It was shot like at the end of 2020.
Here we go. Jonah Hill said that his notion of his character was if Fyre Festival was a person. There we go. It says it right here in the trivia.
Perfect. Love it. So many crazy things that people said, like when Jonah Hill was like, "If she wasn't my mother," which is a reference to what Trump said about his own daughter, if she weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
Yes.
Which is, it's just, yeah. It's a line that is so, it's so incredibly ridiculous to hear that coming out of somebody's mouth, and it actually came out of somebody who was the president's mouth. And it's just like, that's why this movie.
That's something that happened. But I couldn't help just laugh.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else interesting in the trivia.
This is the second time Meryl Streep has played a character with the last name of Orlean. She played Susan Orlean in Adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, did you notice Chris Evans's cameo?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was so good.
I was like, we saw him on the screen, and I turned to Dan, and I was like, that's Chris Evans. And he didn't even realize it.
Like, yeah, when we saw him, and we were like, Chris, what are you doing here? Like, it was such a lovely surprise. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's see. Let's look at these plot keywords. We've got meteorite, asteroid, meteor, comet hitting Earth.
Oh, wow.
That's what this movie's about. Like, oh man, this movie was like, I already said Parks and Rec, but it also kind of felt like just like a really bad reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Like just of like the Kardashians, like of just some stupidly rich people.
Yeah.
Like just doing ridiculous things. Like it just, it was everything.
It was
everything I wanted.
It was very melancholy, of course, the ending, because everybody died. But it was like, to me, it was very good that it was like a disaster movie where they didn't succeed because of our own stupidity. But it really reminded me of, so there's a song in Bo Burnham's Inside. And I just thought that this movie really had like very similar vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bo Burnham's really funny as well, and it's called That Funny Feeling, and it's just like so incredibly sad but also funny at the same time. So if you haven't listened to that, everybody go check it out. It's really good.
Yeah, as well as the other songs from Inside. They're all
definitely
so good. I always listen to some sometimes. Like if I'm just opening up Spotify, I'll just quickly throw them in my queue of whatever I'm listening to lately. It's just been my cringy teen music playlist that I made. I've just been listening to that nonstop, but I'll throw in some Bo Burnham songs in there, like when I just want to mix it up, and I'll always put on some songs from Inside.
I love it. I listen to it all the time. It's so good.
They're so good.
Okay.
But let's get to this Metascore.
So it got a 49.
49.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sad about, because I liked it.
Right. Like I said, I think a lot of people did think it was a bit too brash. So why don't you
Much like Adam McKay's other movies. People like, I mean, the Big Short got a pretty high Metascore, I thought. It was like it was in the green at least. I don't know how high it was, but it was at least in the green.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Vice was pretty similar. People like were very mixed, either really liked it or really hated it.
Yeah, totally. People thought it was shit. And I'm like, is it really that? It's probably not that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're dramatic about this.
Metacritic open. There's 14 positive reviews, 29 mixed reviews, and 7 negative reviews.
So okay, you gotta pick which negative review you like. The lowest one is a 20, but...
You know it. You know it. Okay, which one? I mean, we have to read the lowest one. Always have to. The Rap gave it a 20. a film with all the right things to say about how government, the media, the corporations ignore the emerging disaster of climate change, but couched within a satire so lumbering that it's enough to turn a tree hugger into a pro fracker.
What
no,
is it?
But okay.
I just
no absolutely one wants not fracking. Alonzo, but okay, whatever you say.
I feel like that's, in a sense, it could be because it's so effective that it's like, it makes you just want to give up, I guess. That could be what it is.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what happened. Like, halfway through this movie, I gave up.
Exactly. You became resigned to the concept and the idea that we're all going to die because of climate change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which exactly. is the saddest thing ever, because that's the point, is that we just
And I will never give up. That is
right.
That I'm way too afraid. I'm way too afraid of death and what could possibly happen to our planet to ever stop. But
well, that's exactly what Leonardo DiCaprio thinks.
Yep.
That's why he was in this movie. That guy has been vying for environmental change for 20 years. So
it's a thankless job.
Thankless job filled with under 25 year olds.
Yep. 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 All right, let's see. Let's look at this a little positively now.
Go I'm going to read a 50 from CNN.
It only got one 100. Okay,
I know.
And then I'll read this. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the 50, it says, in a grand science fiction tradition, Don't Look Up uses a disaster movie framework as a metaphor for a reality-based crisis. Yet, with a huge comet hurtling toward Earth as a surrogate for indifference to addressing climate change. Yes, this star-studded, extremely provocative satire at times veers off course itself, partially undermining its admirable qualities with the broadness of its tone. At least it didn't say that you were going to turn to fracking after this movie.
Yeah, at least it didn't say that. You know what? We just need to make being eco-friendly more profitable for the rich people, so that they'll actually help.
You don't think that maybe they've thought about that already?
I know they have. I know. It's just unfortunate. Okay. Here we've got the only 100 here on this list. The San Francisco Chronicle gave it a 100. Don't Look Up might be the funniest movie of 2021. It's the most depressing, too. And that odd combination makes a one-of-a-kind experience. Writer-director Adam McKay gives you over 2 hours of laughs while convincing you that the world is coming to an end. There you go.
Thanks, Mick LaSalle.
There you go.
Glad we talked about this.
I'm glad I watched it. I'm very glad. Like, I walked away from that being like, okay. Like, I was very reluctant to watch it, and I was very happy I did.
What do you think its Oscar prospects are? I personally think that it will get a best editing nod, if not a win for that, because the editing is very good.
Yeah, probably editing. Kate Blanchett was almost unrecognizable. Almost. at some angles, her face looked so different. But no, probably not makeup or anything. It'll get nominated for like original screenplay, right?
Sounds about right. That sounds
original
great.
Screenplay.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe Adam McKay will get director nomination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe
best picture nomination.
I'm thinking about this very critically right now. Maybe best picture. Probably best picture, because Adam McKay normally does. So, but yeah. So probably those.
Yeah.
Those.
That sounds about right, because we still have to talk about a lot of the other movies that are going to be nominated for Oscars, and we are working on it. So this was definitely one of them.
I don't know about Leo for best actor or anything, or any. Who do you think?
Yeah, for supporting? I wouldn't say no. I think that the group that we have currently is not. It's just, to me, like, this movie would fit right in there with quite a few nominations for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we have a lot of more movies to watch and talk about before the Oscars get nominated at the end of February. So, we are just going to keep on trucking, everybody.
Yes, we will definitely be focusing more on Oscar, especially once the nominations come out. I mean, I'm kind of dragging my feet here, kind of going to see movies until I know kind of what I have to see. that's kind of how I'm treating it. Mm-hmm. But that's mostly kind of what we'll be focusing on for the next couple of months while we wait for those. One for the Oscar nominations to release and then for the Oscars to start, obviously. But I guess that, any lasting comments on Don't Look Up?
Be sure to look up, everybody.
Please just look up. Please just look up. For the love of goodness, just look up. That's our episode. If you enjoy that, please rate and review our show. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We are also on Amazon Music and Spotify. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, please follow our social media. We have Twitter, @ByThePopcorn, Instagram, @AllByThePopcornPodcast, Facebook, just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and like our page. If you want to email us, say hello, you can email us @AllByThePopcornPodcast@gmail.com. We also have a YouTube channel. We film some of our episodes, so you can check those out on YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to that. And we also have a TikTok. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and look for our logo. And please check out our merch. We'd really appreciate it. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll chat with you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.